Thank you, Pastor, and thank you to the Evangel Mission Committee and to you folks for accepting that myself and my wife, Charlotte, could come and share with you today the gospel of Jesus. But we also wanted to let you know what God is doing in Africa, and the video, the purpose of the video was to give you a visual of the real challenges that we are faced with. I said in the first service that ISIS is being defeated in Iraq and Syria, and the next place they want to go to is Africa, because there they will feel a little bit protected under the canopy of the equatorial forest, and they will be difficult to find. So the purpose that we have is to deny them that place, mostly by winning the villages and the people there to the Lord, because ISIS works better if it finds Muslims around. So we would like to reach out to the people there before ISIS reaches out to them. It's a hard work to do. We are doing it through the radio. We are doing it through evangelism. We are doing it through training. There are the two of us. I have a radio program. My wife has another radio program she does for women in Africa. About 30 million people listen to us every day over there. And then you won't believe it, but it costs really almost nothing. Yes, for us to reach 4 million people, it costs us $13 a day. Yes, for one radio station, it costs 13 bucks for a day, and it costs about 5,000 a year. So what we want to do is to target as many radio stations as possible. You know, we have 5,000 here, we put it in a country, we have 5,000, put it in another country. So we can reach millions and millions of people. So one way will be, we'll ask this church, take a radio station. We can say, go to take a radio station in Niger, or take one in Ivory Coast, and then you are responsible for it. And then we preach there every day. We have good stories. We don't have time to tell of people are converted who never knew the Lord, Muslims who come to the Lord, and they hide their face. They don't want people to see them because their family will try to kill them. Jesus saves everyone who wants to listen, who wants to respond. Our responsibility is to tell them about him. That's what we do. Now, I may make it sound nice. It is nice, but it is dangerous. Muslims don't joke about that. They don't want their people converted. So we are challenging you guys to pray for us. Yes, we need support. Yes, we need all the finances we can get. But the number one thing really that myself and my wife need is security. And that security comes from your prayers. When we go to Africa, we always feel threatened. Those areas are not okay. We go to difficult places. So what we ask is, can you just accept to pray for us? Give us your address. Give us your email. Give us your contact. So that when we want to go, before we go, we send you where we're going to be, what we're going to do, who we're going to train, so you know you pray for that. You just don't pray for missionaries. No, you pray specifically. Lord, protect Pastor Paul and Charlotte, because tomorrow they will be in such and such village or such and such town, and they will work with these kind of people. Open their hearts. You do that. America is, I think, here you are 6 hours behind Africa, West Africa. So what we do is you pray the day before. We don't want you pray after we're already done. No. So you pray the day before we do anything. So what we do, we also send you information as things are happening. So that's why we want to have your contact. My wife will be there. And then give us your address, give us your email, especially your email, because if we are there, we can just send it, you get it. And then whatever you are doing, you can stop, pray right there. And that really helps. because sometimes we get stuck in places we don't know what to do. You know, these things I'm telling you, they are not jokes. Because my wife and myself, in 2013, we were in Central African Republic, and we had a nice teaching series. We started, and then guess what? During the night, the rebels came in and blew the whole place away. Literally, it's not, they started shelling it. So we hid under the bed because, the bullets are flying all over the house, and the roofs are tin. You just go in. And I sat there, and I said to my wife, let's put two mattresses on top of the bed. And then we hid under the mattress so that I said, it's going to slow the velocity of the bullet. But I knew it will not do it. But we just were under there. Guess what? I had my cell phone. So I text the people here in the United States. I said, we are under the bed. Can you pray for us? And I sent it. And it was waiting. I said, if the server is down, we are toast. And then the people in the U.S. got it, and they started praying. And then there was a little bit of a calm, and they could get us out of the country. I was under the bed with my wife, and I was thinking, we have three children in Grand Rapids. What are they going to become? You know, I said, I wish I was here myself, and my wife was home. But that night, that day, we understood the power of prayer. So when we are asking you to pray, we mean it. Pray before we go. Pray while we are there. Pray when we get back. So we are really, really covered, okay? Now, I came here to preach to you. So open your Bibles in Numbers chapter 13. So I hope by now you can understand my accent because my English is a little weird, okay? I pronounce a little weird, but that's fine. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers is in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to read the whole chapter, and it's a powerful story, okay? Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are their names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, son of Zachor. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Ori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Sodai. From the tribe of Manasseh, a tribe of Joseph, Gedai, son of Susai. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Gemali. From the tribe of Asher, Setur, son of Michael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Navai, son of Vophshi. From the tribe of Gad, Geuel, son of Maachai. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. When Joshua sent them to explore Canaan, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and to the hill country, see what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Amath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Haim and Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israel community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Edomites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land, and they explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we looked the same to them. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud, and all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we ask grace so that we may understand your word. Speak to us, touch our hearts, pierce them, and bring us to our knees, to the cross of Jesus, so that we may surrender to you and follow you. We love you, Jesus. This is your church. This is your place. Minister to us in the power of your Spirit. Break any walls that we are building inside, and touch us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You would think that if you have been slaves for 400 years and finally you have been set free and then you're going to the promised land, you would think that, wow, we can't wait to get there. Are we there yet? Nope. Now, the Israelites are ready to get into the promised land. They've been waiting for this for years, 400 years. I looked around here. I thought I saw some old people, but none of you is even 100. 400 years. They've been waiting. Now it's time to get in. But then go check it out. Check the promised land. So 3 points. First is the mission. Second, the report. Third, the outcome. The destiny. The mission is very simple. Moses tells them, go there, check out 3 things. Check the land, check the people, check the cities. Check those three. Check the land, first of all, the land. See if it is wide enough so that we all can have our own place. Everybody deserves the American dream. Check the land, see if it is spacious enough for all of us. Second, check the soil. See if the soil there is fertile so that the people in Wisconsin can have their farms. Okay, without farming, you can't have food. So check the land, see how big it is, check if it is the soil is good. Mission number 1. Mission number 2, check the people. See if they are strong or weak, tall or small like the preacher. Because if they are big people, it's going to be a fight. If they are small, we can just squash them. You know, see if there are many of them or a few. What kind of military resistance we're going to get there? But check also the third thing, the cities. Do they have walls or are the cities unwalled? If they have walls, then we have to go through them to get the place. The mission is simple. Three things, the land, the people, and the cities. And go try to find some goodies there, bring them back to us. So they went, and for 40 days, 12 of them, each by a tribe, 12 people, they went there, went all over the place for 40 days. And they came back. Now, I'm preaching quick because I was warned that you guys don't like preachers who preach too long. So I'm going to keep it short so you can invite me back next year. So, second point, the report. They did it. 40 days, toured it. Now they are back. But then the group was 12. The group splits into two. 10 people have a different report, and two have a totally different report too. And the 10, the majority, go first. But I will tell you that the report of the majority report is characterized by something I call negative objectivity. Objectivity means facts. There is no fake news in that place there. There is only true news based on facts. Objectivity, being objective, means you are stating the truth based on facts. I want you to understand something. These 10 spies are not lying. They are stating facts, the truth. Moses, the land is good, but the people are too big and giants. We cannot measure up to them. And the cities have thick, tall walls. Folks, Moses, we are toast. We better go back to Egypt. We will not be able to do it. Moses, we're not lying. Negative objectivity is based on facts without God. Facts without faith. These people are suffering from spiritual amnesia. Did they forget what their God did to Pharaoh? Did they forget what their God did to the mighty Egyptian army? They saw with their own eyes how God destroyed Egypt for them. But guess what? Now, negative objectivity makes them blind. They forget the past. They forget what God did. Their faith evaporated in front of those giants. They suffered from spiritual amnesia. Negative objectivity is objectivity without God. It drives you to despair. It drives you to rebellion because you don't remember what God has done for you in the past. How much negativity is ruining your life? I am telling you, negativity is always based on truth, but without God. Yes? You have been diagnosed with a bad disease. Yes? You are sick. You're not making it up. Yes? You lost your job. You are in a bad financial place. There is no joke about that. Your marriage is almost done. I mean, that's a fact. But you forget there is God. You forget that. Negative objectivity is objectivity without God, without faith, without hope. It drives you to despair. How many of you are depressed
because things are really, really bad. Yes, things are really, really bad. Look at the report of the two, Caleb and Joshua. They are also objective. They know they saw the giant. They know they saw the walls. They know they saw the things. But they are, their objectivity is positive. Positive objectivity is objectivity with faith, soaked into faith in God. They remember, well, Pharaoh was scary. His army was powerful. They almost had us. But our God parted waters and we walked through it.
That's why in chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, they say, folks, come on. We're going to eat them alive. We're going to eat them. They can't resist us. We are unbeatable. Verse 9, because God is with us.
That's the game changer.
I used to like to watch the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan played. I didn't care it was the fourth quarter and the other team was winning by 20. I didn't care. Because I knew that Jordan is there, he can score 22. Teams knew, don't talk trash to him when you are up, because you're going to get him upset, he's going to score 50. He was the game changer. God is with us. That's called Emmanuel. When you look at the Hebrew text in verse 9, you will see Adonai Emmanuel. Im anachnu el. In Hebrew, im anachnu el means im with, anachnu us, el God. God is with us. That's why we're going to chew them up. That's why we're going to kill them. That's why we're going to break the walls. That's why we're going to destroy the whole place. We're going to win. I don't care about the size, about whatever. God is with us. Advent, Christmas is a reminder that we don't walk in this world by ourselves. No, God didn't send us a text message. God didn't send us a FaceTime. God didn't send us an email. God came down to earth. I hate those texts from our kids. You know, Charlotte and myself just became grandparents not long ago. But the kids, they knew that we are so pushy. They fled away. They went to Montreal, 12 hours from us, to hide. You know. So that what they do is they send us those videos through WhatsApp of our granddaughter. And then she's playing, you know, I can't help. But there is one thing, it makes me happy and angry at the same time. I can't hug her. I can't hug the video. So guess when they come to visit, nobody takes that kid. It's myself. I hug and hug and hug. Videos don't save you. Text don't save you. It's the presence. God came down to earth. He didn't send us a message. He didn't say, hello down there. Get your act together. God came to be with us, to face the negative facts, to face the problems we have, and then say to you, it's over, it's done, it's accomplished. So, let me ask you something. What are you scared of? What is scaring you off? I mean, as you sit there, what is you losing sleep over what? Pastor Paul, you don't understand. You don't live here. I don't understand. Yes, you are right. But there is one thing. God is with us through Jesus Christ. He came down to be with you. Everybody's story is Jesus' story. He gets into your story of disease, of weakness, of failure, of sin, of shame, of depression, of whatever it is. He gets there and says, I'm here. I'm going to help you. When? Christianity is weak today because it is a religion of the head,
the religion of doctrines, the religion of the right thinking, the religion of the right stuff in your mind, guess what? Your heart is totally empty. God for you is an idea. Jesus is a tale. The Holy Spirit is maybe. No. The gospel is not God giving us information. Nope. The gospel is God coming down, sitting with us, living our lives, telling us, I made you. I know you are in trouble, but I'm a fixer. I'm going to fix you. I love you. I take you where you are, the way you are, where you are, and I move you forward closer to me. Have you checked it? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled faces, look upon his glory and are being transformed into his likeness from glory to glory. We look more and more like him. He's patient. Oh, to ask my wife, I'm so impatient. I was trying to teach her how to drive. It was screaming games all the time until she couldn't take it. A lady from the church had mercy on me, and that lady taught her better than I could. Very bad teacher. Impatient. Get it done. Come on. Not with Jesus. He sits there and makes help. You fumble the ball. He says, okay, I'm going to help you do it again. Who is struggling? Relax. Jesus died for you because he knew you can't do it by yourself. Who tells you God is tired of you? Who? The devil? Why do you believe that? I want you today to take your negative objectivity and say to the Lord, here it is. I am scared to death. But today, I trust you. You will see me through. That's the gospel. God is never tired of us. He's there to give us victory. What is your giant? What are your thick walls you are faced with? What is that thing that is so threatening that you are literally petrified? You don't know what to do. Good. Your God knows what to do exactly. So this is the message I'm giving you today. Whatever it is, God is with us. Emmanuel. Im anachnu el. Amen. Jesus, I pray. Life is full of crazy stuff. People who irritate us, things that don't work right, and things that just mess us up. Things we can't control, things that scare us, get us scared. Father, Jesus is real. I pray that, Jesus, you speak. You don't just sit there and do nothing. I pray that you may speak to me and to my brother and sisters there. Speak to us in such a way that we know it's you. And just give us that courage and strength to stand up and be your followers and change this world for you through the power of the Spirit. Lord, bless this church and use this church to impact the world because you love people who trust you. In you we trust. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.